I from that show, I was going to get in the car and drive home. I had a full tank of gas. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon and I had to get home.
So I heard about this. Someone said that your return trip from Pebble was different.
It's a little different.
Let's call it a different route from your trip up to Pebble Beach.
What's up, folks? Today's episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. I love HelloFresh because you get farm fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You can skip trips to the grocery store, which suck, and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I love HelloFresh because I love cooking, but I hate shopping and I hate food waste. I always end up with a bunch of leftover ingredients in my fridge or my pantry from recipes I made days or weeks ago, and I'm trying to eliminate that. And that's why I love HelloFresh. They send me exactly the right amount of food, sauces, spices, and everything to make the meal for that day. And I'm eating it fresh. It takes like a half hour to 40 minutes start to finish. That includes the prep. It makes exactly the right amount of food for the number of people you tell them. I tell them two people for myself and my wife, and it's the perfect size meal. Right? Makes your weeknights a little easier. You have a long day at work. You don't want to shop on the way home. You don't want to figure out what to make at the last minute. And you don't want to get sucked into a routine where you're only cooking four or five different things because they're easy and you can do it like with your mind turned off. So fall is the perfect time to cozy up with some delicious sweets. You can get the whole family involved with HelloFresh's limited edition kid-friendly baking kits. But it's not just for dinners either. You can shop HelloFresh Market for quick breakfasts, wholesome snacks, and even desserts. You'll find everything you need to satisfy your cravings without stepping foot in the grocery store or a mini mart. And HelloFresh works with your schedule. The plans are flexible and you can change your meal preference, update your delivery day, and even change your address with just a few steps at the HelloFresh app. So go to HelloFresh.com/SmokingTire16. Use code SmokingTire16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. So HelloFresh.com/SmokingTire16. Code SmokingTire16 gets you 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, it's America's number one meal kit.
Hey folks, today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Berryman Automotive. You know, although you can walk into an auto parts store and find hundreds of lubricants and additives, sealers and parts cleaners, but only one company has made hundreds of those products for over a century, and that's Berryman. Whether you're a professional mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer or somewhere in between, the Berryman name has been synonymous with performance-enhancing solutions like their industry gold standard B12 ChemTool fuel additives made with Berryman's exclusive high-energy solvent technology, or HEST. Hundreds of solutions and 100 years of experience, all from one company. That's Berryman Products, all American-made since 1918. Berryman remains committed to producing products that meet the highest standards of performance, reliability, and environmental responsibility. In fact, here at my business, Westside Collector Car Storage, where we record this podcast, we store over 100 cars. Many of them are in our long-term care. And over that amount of time, if you've heard this in the past from someone else or myself, fuel can go bad. The chemical compounds can break down and gunk up your fuel system. And that's why we use Berryman's fuel stabilizing products and fuel system cleaning products here in our cars to keep these cars ready to drive and have clean, strong fuel systems every time their owners want to take them out. So you'll find Berryman at all major automotive retailers or check them out at berrymanproducts.com. That's Berryman products.com.
We're also brought to you today by Off the Record. Off the Record is the best place to go when you get a ticket. Any kind of moving violation, whether we're talking speeding or something else, that is a financial ecosystem that you do not want to be a part of, whether it's court costs, fines, insurance, whatever it is, exit it immediately. Get offtherecord.com/TST or get the Off the Record app and use code TST10 on the app. Off the Record will pair you with a qualified attorney who will fight that ticket in the correct jurisdiction. It's super easy. If you get a ticket, send a photo or a scan to Off the Record. You never really have to hear about it again. They deal with the whole thing. Get those points off your record and you don't have increased insurance costs. You don't have fines. You don't have fees. You don't have risk to your license, risk to your employment. Off the Record is here for you. They have an amazing success rate. And if they don't get the points off your record, money back, folks. It's brilliant. Code TST10 on the Off the Record app or offtherecord.com/TST. All right, folks, on today's show, I have returned from Scotland. I've been to Pebble Beach, and we are talking about both. There's a lot to cover in an international trip for 10 days, as well as goings and comings from the Pebble Beach Concours. Got my Ferrari back. All kind of stories from the biggest week in cars here in California. And we take one of your questions, just one, a solo one. It's me and Zach going remote on the Smoke and Tire podcast.
Okay.
Sketch. What's up? Hello, everybody. This is me sitting in my new house by my new pool. That's right. It's after Labor Day weekend. Zach and I have been off for over 2 weeks. I went to Pebble Beach on the 18th of August, and today is now the 6th of September. So we have been away for a while. That's how hard we worked before we went away. That's how far ahead we were able to get.
That's how we were able to put out shows while we were both
right
in different countries almost.
Right. I went to Pebble Beach and Scotland, and Zach went to Burning Man and got the flu.
I did.
at least it's not AIDS. I mean, Burning Man, you know, could have happened.
I remember the first year I went there, I was like, ooh, everyone's going to have sex. And I immediately realized that everyone's dusty. You don't have sex there. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Christian Hannon was telling me about the orgy tent.
Nobody
in
goes
virtually
there.
The same sentence, he told me that he didn't shower for a week. And I was like, wow, the orgy tent seems like actually the worst place on earth.
A friend of mine who has expressed out loud that he is well-versed in Caligula's darkest desires called the Orgy Dome the Burger King of orgies, and he won't go there.
The Burger King of orgies!
He's a brilliant person, but he's
what
like...
What does that mean? Like, you're unsure if people are fucking with real dicks?
No, he's like, it's not any good, and it's cheap, and you go, and it's like the picture of the burger is not the burger you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Orgy Dome does give you...
Oh, it's not a dome. It's a bunch of carports.
Well,
it used to be a dome.
Beginning of the picture not delivering on the reality. Or there's not really orgy carport doesn't have the same ring to it, I'll admit.
Not at all.
But I got some scotch. The Glengoyne, 21 years old. Scotland, I learned the ways of the scotch a little bit. And something they do there, they don't add ice. They didn't get mad at me when I told them that I added ice, but in the whiskey room, they don't even have ice. The whiskey room didn't have like a bar that you walked up at. The whiskey room that I went to that I posted photos of only had big rich guy chairs that you sat in, and the bartender was floating and would pull shit off the wall, put it right on your table. And then they give you this little dropper, and I brought one home, but it's still packed. So if the shit was a little too much horsepower, you'd add just like a few drops of water. And granted, this is like probably a 2.5-er. So I'm going to add maybe 10 drops of water, and then you just swirl. And that's to take the edge off. Cause this is like, it's like 105 proof.
So it's more like a sommelier, and they walk around and then they give you you ask for. Right.
Dude, shout out to this fool, Angus. This guy was the best bottle man I have ever met in my life. Was a fan of the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Didn't identify himself as a fan immediately, but two shots in, you know, he said it was something bad happened that day. And then he was like, but then I got to meet you. And I was like, well, that's awfully nice customer service. and then he was like, no, really. Like, I'm a fan. I was like, oh, OK. So he said he listens to this show. He listens to Spike. And this guy, if you go to, there he is, Angus. And if you go to Braemar, which is in the Highlands. So I went to Edinburgh, which is where a lot of people go. And it was during that Fringe Festival, right? The city's great. It's like,
wait, Fringe Fest, that's the comedy festival, right?
The comedy festival. Yeah. It's like, it's less stand up than like improv, but there's so many shows going on. It's like, you can't keep track of all the shows. And then we went to the Highlands, to this place called Braemar, and stayed at the Fife Arms Hotel, which is a crazy fucking hotel. That photo of Hannah and I, the town of Braemar is behind Hannah's right hip at the bottom of that hill. We climbed a little mountain with a guy. We did a guided hike there, and you see the dog sitting at our feet, and there was an optional dog. Like for an extra 20 year, the guide would bring the dog. Like,
that's a weird upside.
The guide told us it was a hilarious, when we were like, make sure the dog is there. And the guide was like, this is the greatest racket ever, because we basically get paid to walk our dog.
Yeah.
And that was my room at the Fife Arms, which the hotel was insane. It was just, the room was like the most Scotland kitsch that ever fucking was. And it had the best whiskey room I've ever been in, with this dude, Angus, who was just pouring, you know, and this bottle they made, you know, 150 of in 1993, and then they went out of business. And this bottle is from a special cask of Macallan that was rediscovered after 30 years. And I mean, just, and it was like, well, what do you like? Do you like, if you could only drink one thing, what would it be? And then he would kind of take a tangent off of that to pick for you. It was pretty fucking epic. Expensive. Wow. Expense.
Well, I mean, a guided journey like that is definitely not going to be cheap, but you know,
the first night my dad and I had six drinks between us, four for me and two for him, and the bill was £400.
I remember you texted me this and I was like, wait, Roger doesn't really drink. And you're like, no. And then you clarified, you're like, well, he had two and I had,
he had two and I had four. And then the next night I went back with Hannah and she had a half of one and I had six. And the way Angus would pour is he would get progressively stronger. So the last one he's pouring is like 120 proof. You know, it's fucking serious.
Buy five, get the second one's,
yeah,
free.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did she have a half? Because she didn't like it very much.
She tried. She tried to like the whiskey, but she didn't like the whiskey, and that's okay. She tried, and I give. And she sat there and drank with me while I enjoyed the whiskey. I don't like the smoky, peaty flavored whiskey, but there is a lot of Scotch that I liked a lot more than I thought I would, and I only brought two bottles home because you can't ship. A lot of these places are very small batch and they won't ship. So it's really what you can carry. Wow. And so I only carried two bottles home, but I got some here for at the house for us to drink later. But Scotland was like the nicest people, like the fucking nicest people. That whole not understanding them thing is way overblown unless you're straight shit canned in a bar with like soccer hooligans, you know, but like on an everyday interaction level, like, totally chill, easy to understand, and the sweetest people, not just like in the service industry, like the randoms I interacted with were like so nice and friendly, and it was beautiful. Didn't rain, beautiful green lush rolling hills, great roads. Oh my god, would love to do a road trip across Scotland. Be epic.
I mean, that's why so many of the British car mags, they, you know, when they want to do an epic drive, they go a few hours to like the Scottish Highlands. It's just right. Classic.
And this town of Braemar has a couple of pretty well-known restaurants in it. And so right next to our hotel was one of them that was basically like the Bills of Scotland.
That's funny.
And so all these sports cars and motorcycles kept coming through on like Saturday and Sunday.
Did it also, was it also ran by a cantankerous man who's bad at business, but just a nice human to talk to?
Probably. I don't know. They had a great fish and chips. I did fuck with the fish and chips.
What you mean bring in more people for lunch? I don't want to serve to more people.
Dude, we you know, my parents, they don't like to like think while they're on vacation. So everything's like pretty much pre-planned, right? And so, you know, we had an itinerary that included dinner reservations every night. So when we got to this town of Braemar, we told the people at the front desk where we were going to dinner that night. And they were like, we're like, is it good? And they're like, it's a well-known local spot. And we're like, boy. And they're kind of like looking around like back and forth at each other, like, and we're like, oh, this might be fucking bad. We don't really know. They don't want to tell us this place sucks. And so we go down there. It's like a walk, you know, a quarter of a mile around from the hotel. we walk and we get there. And they tell us that they are going out of business permanently tomorrow. Tomorrow what? Will be their last day. So they get because they can't get staff, because they can't keep a staff in this town. Which,
so you're getting the second oldest ingredients they will ever have.
Correct. So they give us a menu with a piece of paper on top that's like, here's what we got left. We got two burgers. We got four steaks. We got five orders of fish left. And by the way, all the wine is on sale. Deep discount.
Don't touch that fish.
I'll tell you what. They're not going out of business because they can't cook. The food was fine, but it was generally an atmosphere of mildly depressing.
Oh man, that's hard. Yeah, like, oh.
So when we got back, I was like, bro, they were like, oh good, there's he's like, when you told us you were going there, he's like, we thought they closed today. He's like, we thought you were gonna walk down there and see that the place was fucking closed.
That's funny they didn't tell you, like, I think it's closed. And you're like, they
yeah. The restaurant in the hotel was amazing, but one of our other, we ate at a two-star Michelin restaurant, supposedly the best restaurant in Scotland. It was called Andrew Farrelly, F-A-I-R-I-L-E, I think. And it wasn't one of those like Noma, new modernist Michelin star places. It was like kind of older school, more traditional.
Like it was made like, you know, the first Michelin map was in France. And then the second one was Italy. Maybe the third was Scotland, just because that's how they branched out from the factory.
Yeah. And this place got their stars like a while ago and managed to keep them. Like they didn't just get a star this year. They've had them for like 15 years and they've kept them for a while. The food was amazing. It was beautiful, but best wine pairing I've ever fucking had. Hands down, the wine pairing was so epic. The shit they were pouring was fucking off the chart. And I have the list of the wines, but it was amazing. And considering what it, you know, it was my mom's birthday, so Hannah and I bought that dinner. Considering two Michelin stars, wine pairing, all that, mm-hmm. It was shockingly affordable. I mean, for what it was, it wasn't cheap, but under $1,000 for four people. You know, with wine pairing, I mean, it's pretty impressive at that level of dining.
Yeah, if you were in New York, it probably would have been.
If you were in New York, it would have been five. I mean, easy. Oof. Or if you were in Yountville, you know, in Sonoma, it would have been five. But like, we did some shooting. Went to the Jackie Stewart School of Shooting. Did you know what? Jackie Stewart was a champion clay pigeon shooter? Did you know that?
No, that's awesome.
He was, and he founded a school. This was, we went shooting twice. This was in Braemar in the Highlands. We went shooting with a dude just named George. This was shooting and hatchet throwing. And my dad, we taught my dad to throw a pretty decent hatchet. This guy, George, was fucking shocked that there are pubs in America where you can get drunk and throw hatchet at the same time.
Now, is he surprised because he thought that would only exist in Scotland, or he in America's too
no
safe?
They don't have in Scotland, they just huck hatchets like for fun in the woods. They don't have them as like a novelty bar activity yet.
Well, that's why, because they have access to hatchets all the time, right? And we have to go to a designated place that has a chain link fence set up.
Right. One of the funniest things about Scotland is they give you this sort of standard issue tourist, you know, you haven't had any drinks today, right? Before you shoot guns or throw hatchets or whatever the fuck you're doing, right? You haven't had any drinks today, right? No. And then in the middle of the fucking activity, they break out a flask and they go, you'd like a dram, right? You know, and they, a dram is a shot over there. So then they break out a flask of something like super fire and they'll fucking, they're pouring you a dram like in between rounds. Like, all right, cool.
I like this weird legalese where they're like, you can't admit to drinking beforehand, but during is,
but during is a completely different fucking thing. And we did falconry. We fucking flew some birds, which the part where we held the birds and like they went out and back was pretty cool. Like the birds are mad chill and it was very enjoyable. But then they showed us how they hunt with these fucking things. And that shit is crazy. In the photo, those are Harris hawks. They're actually from Texas, not Scotland. They have a giant golden eagle at this place and it's enormous.
They're really big.
Really big.
Really big.
And they've got peregrine falcons and stuff too, but only the Harris hawks like play with the tourists. But the Harris hawk is the only bird that's like a pack bird for hunting. And so when they go hunting with these things, one dude will go out with like four birds, right? What? And the birds go up in the trees and the guy walks from in the woods and he's looking up at the birds and the birds, like if this is like the ass feather, the tail feathers of the birds will like scan with their eyes, but then they'll kind of like shake their tail feathers in the direction of what they think shit is. And then the guy starts walking that way and the birds will fly from tree to tree to tree over the dude's head, right? Finding stuff. And they'll see a fucking rabbit. They'll dive bomb, fuck the rabbit up, and then they'll like cover the rabbit with the wings so no one else can get it. And then the guide has a dummy rabbit and like hucks the dummy rabbit over to the side, distracts the bird, pockets the rabbit, and then they go back to hunting. And this dude walks through the woods and a flock of birds will follow you from tree to tree because they enjoy hunting with you.
That's so cool.
It's crazy. It's so dope. And so you play with the birds and then they go out and they give you a demo of how they do it. And it's G as fuck. Like I thought hunting with dogs was awesome. Cause like I hunt with dogs and I'd rather shoot clays than shoot actual birds, frankly. But we eat the birds. They don't go to waste. They're not just getting stuffed on the wall. And I like working with the dogs. I think that's really fun, watching the dogs work and having them, you know, doing the thing. But hunting with birds is way more awesome than hunting with dogs.
Well, because in this case, I mean, the birds are doing the hunting. Like, mm-hmm. you know, with you, you're mm-hmm. doing the hunting and the dogs are just helping you pick stuff up. Mm-hmm. In this case, like... The birds are sentries that are heading out mm-hmm. to actually do the work. That's really cool.
Yeah. But the whole trip, there was a bit of a cloud on the whole trip, and not because we were in Scotland, because the airlines lost our bags on the way there. We took a layover in Newark so that we could meet my mom at the layover and fly the second leg with her. When we landed, there was a crazy storm, right? Lightning storm. And they shut down the ramp. Do you know what that terminology means?
No.
The ramp is the ground crew that does the fucking light sticks to guide you in. And
okay.
So planes could still land, but they couldn't get to the gates, and planes at the gates couldn't leave. So planes are fucking landing, but no one's going up and no one's getting to the gate and no one's leaving the gate.
Oh God.
This created the worst airplane traffic jam I've ever seen or heard of. Planes were just stacking up on the taxiways all over the place, far as you can see. It looked like Mojave, like the airplane graveyard.
Right.
It looked like that.
Wow.
And so Hannah and I landed in Newark, but didn't get off the plane for 3 hours. Once we landed, it was wild.
You know, sometimes I land and I'm not done with my movie and I go, God damn it, I have to get off this plane and finish this later. You didn't have that problem.
That was that flight was the always bring a snack, no matter fucking anything, always have a snack. So then we finally get to the gate. Our connecting flight is delayed. And then the crew times out and they cancel it. Right. Cause it wants, if the crew is working a certain amount of hours, like they then can't fly.
Oh God.
You know what I mean? So they canceled that flight at midnight. So my mom, Hannah, and I take a fucking $300 Uber from Newark back to Connecticut. Stay in their house. The travel there, my mom's calling the travel agent at like midnight. She's got some hoity-toity travel agent. They get us on a flight the next day. It doesn't leave till 6 p.m. the next day. So we lose an entire day in Scotland, which turns out was fine. But it's on Lufthansa, not United. Because of course it's fucking United, right? Tried to go Delta, but it was more than double the price. And I wasn't going to fucking bitch because old man Pops was buying the tickets. So next day, Lufthansa, we can get to Edinburgh, but now we've got to go through Frankfurt. So we fucking get on there through Frankfurt. But in the airline change, United loses my bag, Hannah's bag, and my mom's bag. So
they're like, oh, you're going to take your money out of here? We're just going to move your bags. Oh,
dude. So me and Hannah's bag shows up on day 8 of 10. And my mom's bag shows up the night before we leave to come back. And so we had to buy all this garbage, fucking cheap, shitty department store clothing, you know, just to get through the trip, which is annoying. You know, we're submitting an insurance claim to hopefully get our money back. But like not having your own clothes, you know, for a long trip like that, it kind of fucking blows, you know, especially when you're me. Nothing fits right. Like it's hard for me to find even basics that fit right. Like, especially in Europe, for me to find fucking basics, it's tough. So,
yeah,
but I'm, you know, still an amazing trip. I wrote a lot of notes. What else did I write? Oh, I wrote so many notes. Look at all these notes I wrote about Scotland because I didn't want to forget because we did a lot. We went to something called a military tattoo, which has nothing to do with ink in your skin. It's like a pipes and drums military marching band performance. Think drumline. Okay. You know, like fucking outside the Edinburgh Castle. It was actually quite beautiful. Started it originally as just being Scotland. But over time, they've added other countries send representatives to participate. And if you Google Edinburgh military tattoo, you will get photos of it, especially if you add 2022. They turn the castle into the backdrop and project laser stuff on the castle, which looks really amazing, actually. Using a castle as a backdrop set is pretty fucking cool. But there was like Mexico, Switzerland sent these like super precise fucking snare drummers. You just find the picture, your face says you did.
There are so many people participating in this thing. This is like the opening ceremony to the Olympics. That's what
it
this
is.
Looks
it's
like.
It's literally, yes, it is. It's exactly like watching an Olympics opening ceremony. That's exactly what it's like.
You can see this, right?
Yes, I can. That photo is small in the window, but I can see it. And so I have to say, Switzerland was amazing. Scotland was amazing. I have to say, and we have a fan who was a performer in the America contingent of this. America sent a military band to perform in this. Zach, what? It was, okay. You know, I'm pretty embarrassed to be an American when I go most places, not America. I was horrified at what the Americans chose to do for their performance. They had uniformed, super G-rated looking black dudes rapping over Mark, doing like G-rated America themed rapping, like over like marching band. It was so awful. America and New Zealand were by far the most embarrassing people. America was the worst, though. We need to stop doing
Did any other bands have lyrics or singing or anything, or was the United States the only
one? There was a Scottish group that did have some very kind of cool vocals. The Mexico group did have a little bit of singing. Like other groups did have some singing, yes, but America was real embarrassing. Like, we need to stop doing that entire part of this program. It's not making us look good. And I'm sorry to the fan that we have that performed. I don't know who you, what you did in that. Hopefully it wasn't something too embarrassing. I don't think you were one of the rappers because you, I looked at your Instagram profile and you're a white guy. And so it wasn't that guy, but, oh, it was, God damn, was it shameful? Oh, oh, we are we're the worst.
I wonder if they were like, how did they come up with, like, was rap, I mean, this is a genuine question. Like, was rap, you know, invented in the United States? In the United States,
well, yes, so, it was, obviously.
Right. So there are they like, well, look, the only type of singing to ever originate in the United States, because everything else is from other countries.
It wasn't really, the only. Like, they also the, did some like sock hop 50 shit, like Little Baby Bugle Boy or whatever that song is. You know what I'm talking about?
Pum 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 pum.
No, no, not like Come They Told Me, but rum pum pum. There's like something something Bugle Boy is like, is another like fit, it's like 50s sock hop shit. They went from corny ass rap that makes fucking Hamilton look like Kendrick Lamar to this 50s sock hop trash. It was embarrassing. Let's not ever do that again.
That's an interesting choice of eras. They were like, here is hip hop, and then here is the generation that didn't really like hip hop.
God, it was so bad. It was so bad. Oh, something I liked about Edinburgh. Remember when we went to the Buffalo Trace Distillery? That smell, that beautiful smell of
maple
of maple syrup. Edinburgh smells like almost like that. There's so much distilling going on there. The whole town smells like a distillery. Wow. And I actually found it to be quite pleasant.
That's pretty, is it just like distilleries and breweries and stuff just all over the place? Like,
there's distilleries all over the place. Yeah, there's a lot of small batch distilleries around Edinburgh and all over Scotland, actually.
Okay.
And there's also a lot of pubs. And so there's just fucking booze all over the place. Edinburgh, while we were there, had a what they call a bin man strike. That's a garbage strike.
Oh,
so it was during the Fringe Festival. The population of Edinburgh is 50% over what it normally is. And the garbage men are on strike. Oh, you know, it's Scottish people are so nice. Anytime something bad happened, whether it was just the presence of garbage or our lost luggage, you know, I think, you know, you don't just end up in Scotland. You have to want to go there. It's not like they've just got a beach and you picked it. Like, you got to want to learn about history. You got to want to learn about Scotland. And so when something bad happens to a tourist, they're so apologetic, even if it had nothing to do with them. Like, our driver at the airport was like so embarrassed that they lost our luggage, and then our tour guide was like so embarrassed about the garbage man strike. Like, they took it, they didn't want to be presented to, you know, it's probably hard to get people to go to Scotland. They didn't want people to think negatively of it, which we didn't, despite
those things.
I was like, yeah, fuck you, pay me. Like, I was like, yes, I was pro bin man strike. I didn't care. I was like,
wait, yeah, where does photo go? I want to find it. The pile was really funny.
The what?
Where's the photo? You had the photo of you next to the garbage, or was it on Hannah's Instagram?
It was either on Hannah's Instagram, or Hannah might have texted it to you or put it somewhere. I didn't actually have the photo.
It reminded me of New York City, because it's like, oh yeah, pile of trash.
And Edinburgh and Scotland in general is incredibly clean. There's no litter anywhere. And garbage, like there was garbage in the street, but not because people were just like throwing garbage in the street. They'd pile it up next to the bins, and then it would get windy and blow all over. Like,
oh, man.
It was like Scotland was like really clean, really clean. Like the whole place was super clean. It's a great place to go. You got to be like into the idea of going to Scotland. Like I said, like, you're not just going to end up there because it's got a nice beach or something. It's
right.
It's kind of tough to get to. But it's a really lovely place with really lovely people. I've heard that the food wasn't good, but that wasn't my experience at all. There's not a lot of vegetables. Besides that, I thought the food was prepared with care. I had great Indian food, like great Indian food, great Turkish food. The Scottish food I thought was really good. I had haggis. I enjoyed it, actually. Thought the haggis was good.
Nice.
Had some good pizza. Like, it's a nice place. We should figure out how to take a road trip. From like, we should do the whole continent, like the whole UK, like London through you know, Scotland all the way to the north.
I'm in. There's so much car content we could make. There's so many companies. There's so many good roads. Scotland is definitely on my list. I'd love to go to the Fringe Festival and then go explore it outside of that as well.
The Fringe Festival was like overwhelming. Like there was so many shows. There's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. There are 30,000 performances during the Fringe Festival.
Whoa.
Performances. Forget the number of people that come to Edinburgh. There's 30,000 performances. Like it's like impossible to figure out what to go see and what to do. And we had a driver because of course we did, you know, like a little Mercedes Sprinter. It wasn't like that luxurious, but it was a Sprinter with a driver who fucking nice guy didn't shut the fuck up. Got yap. But I really appreciated his driving skill. His driving dynamics were excellent on the windy roads. He really carried an excellent pace. His weight transfer ability was superior. He could drive fast if he wanted to, and he was driving properly. I wish he would talk a little less. He was a chatty bugger, that guy. But I really, when we were on the windy parts in the Highlands, it was I really wanted to be driving myself. But second to that, we had a driver who knew how to drive. That was good.
Yeah, if you can make a twisty road feel smooth and straight, that's impressive.
Yeah, I wouldn't say smooth and straight, but I didn't feel like I was going to die, and I wasn't fucking dying of boredom. So that's
good. I mean, we know that there's a way to go through a corner that turns it into five corners, and there's a way to make it feel like one corner, and five corners is bad.
Yeah, for sure. So that's Scotland. I do recommend it. Anything? What else did I write down about Scotland? Jackie Stewart was at my hotel in Edinburgh. And Alan Cumming was at my hotel in Braemar. I saw him. Lots of walking. The weird hotel, beautiful hikes, whiskey room, lots of castles. We saw lots. The castle from Monty Python was cool as fuck. The Dune Castle, what? D-O-U-N-E, was the castle from Monty Python. And it was real cool and worth a visit.
The castle from the African Swallow part of Monty Python?
The one where they're throwing sheep off the wall.
Yeah.
That's the castle. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We saw Hannah wanted us to find the world's tallest hedge, which we did. There's a photo on my Instagram of Hannah standing in front of the world's tallest hedge, which was planted in 1745.
What? How do they define a hedge? Like versus
a tree?
It's
a fucking hedge. Well, that's what I kind of said. I said, at what point does a hedge turn into a tree?
Yeah.
And they said it's a fine line, but it's the hedge. The plant started as a basic hedge,
okay,
and just kept growing. It's you know, it looks kind of tree-like, although it is manicured like a hedge.
And the species is a hedge.
Yes, the species is hedge.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the differentiator. You know, just because it's tall doesn't mean it changes into something else.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! Here it is. Wow, yeah,
it's huge. No, pull up the picture. It's fucking it's enormous. Yeah, it's 150 feet tall. It's a giant ass hedge.
And it's grown like along with some trees. It's like they're racing for sunlight. This is nuts.
Yeah, and just outside that frame, there's a hole where you can walk through it. It's only 4 feet thick. On the other side is just like grass.
Wow.
Yeah. Like it's a proper hedge. It's a border of a property. Hedge. Yeah.
That's different. Okay.
Reading list for Scotland. I read a book called Rogues that was awesome. Collection of New Yorker essays about bad people. And it was really good. And I read a book called What Silicon Valley Gets Wrong About Transport, The Road to Nowhere by Paris Marx. That is excellent. And I recommend it very, very highly. Very good.
Nice.
We are now drinking the Royal Lochnagar 12-year. We went to this distillery. We went to visit, and this was excellent. Really delightful.
Okay, cool.
We'll be back to our normal bourbon programming soon enough.
Ah, it's good to take a vacation.
It's Scotland. Do you want to talk Burning Man, or do you want to talk Pebble Beach?
Better late than never. Pebble Beach. Burning Man is Burning Man.
Okay. We can do Burning Man and Q&A later. on the next show. So Pebble Beach, I went with Road and Track. It was my fifth time going. Interesting. Drove the Ferrari up there. I guess we could talk about that. There is something on top of just the superficial. There's something so satisfying about driving your old car to Pebble Beach. It's just a nice, it's a really nice thing to be doing. That drive up there is like, I left at 4 a.m. LA time, and I got to San Luis Obispo in 2 hours and 26 minutes, which is a 90 mile an hour average. This car is so great at medium to high speed highway cruising. It loves 90 miles an hour. You know, before Donnie had done anything with it, and I had it, I was like, I don't, you know, the guys that were cannonballing these things, either they were insane or lying, yeah. You know, but now, yes, of course you could stick this thing at 100 miles an hour plus and go across the US. It's perfectly happy at doing that exact thing. Nice. Happier at that than it is at, it didn't like the really, I mean, it's not like it didn't like it, but it's not as great at the very tight technical stuff. The steering is heavy. And you know, the brakes are okay. They're brand new, but like, they're not anything like what you'd get today, but the raw, it's very tight. The shocks feel great. The fact that it has bushings that work feels amazing.
Yeah.
Just the fact you can go really fast, really confidently. The gearing is great for 100 miles an hour up the freeway. I'm talking about early morning by myself up the 101. There's not a lot of people around. And the car was just super, super happy the whole way up. I was going to take the 101 the whole way, but I got to San Luis Obispo so fast. I was like, fuck it. Let's hit the PCH. Let's do it. And nice. So I hit PCH early enough that very few people were out on it. And the people that were on it, I was very impressed with their canyon etiquette. So many people pulled over and let me by. Basically everybody. I had a fully uninterrupted run to Big Sur, as uninterrupted as it could be. Anyone who I pulled up on moved over at the first turnout. And I got to Big Sur. I stopped at this cool little coffee shop in Big Sur to get some breakfast, had some nice bacon and eggs and an oat milk latte. And as I'm having my latte, kind of leaning on the car like a boss in front of the fucking restaurant, this dude is out on the street setting up cones. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? Well, it turns out I had picked the restaurant that was the U-turn for the Tour de Elegance.
Oh,
so to win a trophy at Pebble Beach Concours, you have to complete the Tour de Elegance, which is like a 60-mile road drive from Pebble Beach to Big Sur and back. You got to do it. And so even though I wasn't going to be staying for Sunday because I went to Scotland instead of stick around for the concours, the concours came to me. I sat right there. I ordered another latte, and I watched every single car that will be displayed on the lawn at Pebble Beach just come to me. And, you know, fucking, and the funniest part was, it was great to watch all those cars, but they blocked traffic going north on PCH for 45 minutes while this was going on. Wow. So any like civilian that got stuck there, like, was not happy to be there.
Yeah.
And this fucking lady in a Prius was screaming at the fucking guy with the flags and the cones. I'm going to call the fucking cops. Fuck you. And he's like, lady, who do you think is shutting this down? Like,
yeah,
the cops, you're going to Pebble Beach on fucking Concourse Week. This is like all of the revenue for this town for the whole year.
I'm surprised the CHP wasn't down there where you were positioned.
They were right there. She's yelling at this flagger. There's like two cops right there.
Wow. You got a much better display than, you know, if you sit on the lawn, you watch the cars idle in. like at 5 a.m., but like that's all you're seeing. But this is a nice test to make sure that your trophy winner isn't just pushed off a trailer and then idles for 6 seconds and like, oh, we won. It's like, no, it's an operational vehicle that has to be able to go, you know, down and up a highway.
Yeah, it's an important thing to do. I'm glad they do it for the concourse, but it's fun to watch as well. And what else did I do? So I interviewed Mate Ramatz after driving the Nevera, and my story is coming out for Road and Track. I loved Mate. I thought he was the coolest motherfucker. He's 34. He's 34. The first production car this guy has ever built runs eights on the street.
Well, he's 34 eights. And they're like, you're in charge of Bugatti now, you know?
Yeah. He's so good at his job. They're like, you can have our company too.
Yeah.
It's not like Bugatti was like, leave your company and come work for us. You can have your company run ours and it'll be called Bugatti Ramatz. And so he was the coolest. Saw Gordon Murray. He was the coolest again. I didn't have time to do a real big sit down with him, but I looked over the T50. Fuck me. That is a machine. That is a fucking machine. Saw Christian von Koenigsegg, chatted with him about his new car, the CC850. Did you see this thing?
Yeah, with a crazy transmission. It's a manual or like an automatic.
Whatever. Manual. It's a synthetic manual. We've gone full Thrustmaster. We have merged sim racing and real cars.
That's amazing.
It's a 9-speed automatic that you can put in auto and just drive it as an auto, or you can put it in manual. And if you put it in street mode, it chooses 6 of the 9 ratios that are appropriate for the street. You can shift like a manual. It has a clutch pedal. You can stall it. Christian stalled it in front of me. Whoa. You can stall it. You can do burnouts. You can dump the fucking clutch, do launches and burnouts. If you put it in track, it chooses 6 different ratios.
Wow.
Obviously there's overlap, but the ratios are different for the street program and for the track program.
That's perfect.
And there's hydraulic feedback on the clutch pedal. It's not real. There's a cylinder there. It's all computer. It goes through a computer. It's clutched by wire, but there's feedback to make it real. The linkage has feedback. It's pretty wild stuff.
That is
pretty,
really pretty fucking crazy.
Cool. Yeah.
That
Christian
is amazing.
He always finds a way to go to the next level. Like nobody else, even like Mate. Like Mate, his car, the Nevera is incredible. For to be a company's first car and to be built as well as that thing is, forget fast. Fast is one thing, but to be built as well as it is built with as many bespoke parts as it has, like other companies are selling shit in the 7 figures, is not nearly as nice as the Nevera. The Nevera is a nice car, really nice. But Christian, he always finds that other thing that you didn't think you could do with the Ruggiero,
because he thinks
where it's
like
no gears,
far outside the box. Whereas I think Mate, you know, he was using existing electric components to build his Drag E30. And then he went, okay, if electric cars are the future, performance is where I want to be. How do I make this the best anyone can? Because he's done it so well. Like Porsche invested a bunch of money. A lot of companies are interested because he took the idea and he perfected or improved or built the technology. But Christian's like, what if there was a synthetic transmission that was a manual and an automatic at the same time? No one was talking about that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah. Crazy. I saw... saw John Hennessy. His whole team was wearing boots and giant fucking 10 gallons at the Quail. It was so fucking funny. but I checked out the Venom F5. Mm-hmm. He said I could have a go. I think I might have to go to Texas to do it, but he said I could have a go. It was a very attractive car. The interior is real crazy. I don't like the fucking yoke steering wheel, but
the screen in front of it's kind of
there's choices, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily made, but it's a real car. I mean, it's a fucking real car, and I sat in it and it was very comfortable for a tall driver. I mean, really nice. Tons of space inside that car for a tall driver, which I really respect. And it felt airy and spacious. and it's probably fast as fuck. I mean, it's yeah. It's like 1800 horsepower, so it probably goes.
Did
like
you
a
see that crazy video of the SSC? Someone brought an SSC Tuatara and the Hennessy F5 to like whatever Kennedy Air Force Center, and in the video is like each of them started at 200 miles per hour and then accelerate to their respective top speed. Yeah. And which is just like, what an alarmingly fast roll race. Like, okay, we're rolling from 200 and the Hennessy went like 276 and the Tuatara hit like 291.
Wow.
And,
really?
Yeah.
Good for them.
It was ripping. I mean, it was just what a crazy drag race that to have exist. You know?
Yeah. It started at 200.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. I had the Aston guys from the Hypercar Invitational, CEO of Aston Martin North America, Adam Chamberlain. We did a segment on the podcast, as well as the team that managed the deals with the Vulcan, the Valkyrie, excuse me, and the Vulcan. They were at the fucking same table that we were at Hypercar. I walked into the hotel after a night of pre-drinking at the Acura party, where you were missed, at the Acura party. And we fucking, I walk in and that whole Aston Martin team is there. And Farrah, and I'm like, dude, I think so far Aston Martin is leading in terms of my favorite teams to drink with, except they shut it down again and, just kept buying bottles. It was great fun. We did a Spikes Car Radio live in front of like 300 people live. Cool. It was very, very fun. And then I was after Spike's show that was Saturday afternoon, me, Spike, and Zuckerman. I from that show, I was going to get in the car and drive home. I had a full tank of gas. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon and I had to get home.
So I heard about this. I'm not going to jump on it, but I'm going to use this as a stinger at the beginning of the show. Someone said that your return trip from Pebble was different.
It's a little different.
Let's call it a different route from your trip up to Pebble Beach.
So go ahead. I go, all right, guys, I got to go. I'm driving home. And they go, you're driving home? I go, yeah, I'm going to Scotland. I got to drive home. They go, Zuckerman goes, driving's for suckers. And I go, well, I have to get home. My car has to get home. And he goes, got a seat on the jet. And I go, yes. And so rather than driving home, Zuckerman had his Speedster. Spike had his Zagato. They were driving to the Monterey Jet Center where a truck was waiting to take their cars back to Santa Monica. And there was a jet and they had a spot on the trailer.
Wow.
And they had a seat on the jet. And so I'm going to say no. I'd rather be in the car for 6 hours right now. Like, you know, I would have happily driven home. Like I would have happily, it wasn't like I would have happily driven home. The car was running great. There's nothing. I drove the car twice today. Car's fine. There's nothing, no reason to not drive the car, but it had been a very long day because this show ended at like 2-3 PM. And now I'm going to drive all the way back to LA. Car doesn't have air conditioning. It's a warm day. And I had to leave the very next day. So I could get 5 hours back. So I was like, really? I can. And then, yeah, cause fucking dude, I drove to the airport, handed my keys to the fucking guy. He drove my car. The truck was parked right there. He drove the car right onto the truck. I walked in. There's the jet on. I was home in 35 minutes.
That's crazy. I can't believe that someone, the person who told me, like, they didn't actually know who you were with. So they were like, some guy had a plane and like brought Matt home. And I was like,
Spike and Zuckerman. I jokingly called it Air Zuckerman, but I don't want to give Spike, I don't want to pretend like they didn't split it. They split it. It was and then we land and fucking, we go out to the parking lot and Spike's car was in the parking lot of the lot. He was going to give me a lift back to the crib. Fuck, we go out to the parking lot. Cat Williams is smoking a fucking blunt in the parking lot, like ripping this fucking L in the parking lot of the fucking Jet Center.
Wow.
And he's wearing so much sparkly shit. His shoes are sparkly. He's got sparkly sleeves. he wasn't covered in literal diamonds, but everything he was wearing was sparkling while he's smoking this enormous blunt in the parking lot of the fucking airport.
Dude, good for him. That's right. Was this Santa Monica? The Jet Center thing?
Yeah. No. Oh, excuse me. It was Van Nuys. You can't fly charters into Santa Monica. You gotta go Van Nuys.
Yeah. Wow. Cat Williams, dude. He's the man. He's good.
It was awesome. And then fucking they brought my car to Spike's hangar. And then I went to go pick it up today and someone had washed it. I didn't even get there. I was like, Spike, someone washed the car. He's like, I don't know, maybe. I was like, I think somebody washed my car.
did he actually not know, or is he fucking with you? He's like,
no, he's got like a guy who comes by, like, I guess he watches his cars and he saw a dirty car and fucking just washed it.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. It doesn't get much better than that.
It was pretty solid. And Spike was like, you know, Spike said it was, you know, a thank you for, you know, appearing on his program, which I very much appreciate. Spike is a very good friend. We disagree on a couple little things, but overwhelmingly Spike has been pretty good to me. And so I appreciated the fucking, the little lift back from, instead of getting home at 11 PM, I got home at 4:20.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That was a big difference.
Yeah. You can't say no to that. I wouldn't say no to that. That's incredible.
Just like I said earlier, driving your own old car to Pebble Beach and then putting it on a truck and getting it and then not having to drive it home afterwards is pretty sweet.
That is pretty awesome. Wow. That is a life we should try to attain. Drive to a show, do live show, and then fly back. That's great.
It's that shit is far outside of my budget, but it was very nice that I got to get a little taste. Taste of that.
Yeah, that's TV and personal injury money.
But, you know, what was crazy about Pebble Beach and the quail and you know, I saw the GT3 RS. It's very nice looking. I accidentally interrupted Rory Reed. I don't know if you saw this. Rory Reed was doing a bit for Auto Trader.
Hmm.
And he was talking to Luke from Porsche in front of the GT3 RS. And his cameraman must have been on long lens because he was like 30 feet away. And so I look over and I see Rory chatting to Luke about, you know, whatever the fuck. And I just like bound up there. And I'm like, Luke, Rory, like, what's up, man? And they're like, he's and Rory looks at me like, fucking dick bag. I'm doing a bit. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't see the camera. Like, it was just innocent mistake. The dude was on long lens. Like, what do you want from me? Like, and Rory was like, I'm gonna leave that in the fucking shot. And a couple people, like, and like me and Rory, like, we're not like homies, but like we're casual friends. We've interacted on social media a bunch. After they finished shooting, we had like a nice 20-minute chat. He's gonna come do the show when he comes to LA. Like, it was fine. And I was like, yeah, leave that part of me interrupting in because it's funny. And I got like three or four like emails and from people who were like, so angry. You need to apologize to Rory publicly. You need to make a statement. I was like, you need to not suck so much. Cause like, it's Auto Trader. It's not like fucking a Top Gear special here.
Well, if Rory was upset, he wouldn't leave it in the video. So like for correct. People to get upset and assume that you took control of the video, like that's the ridiculous part to me.
Yeah, no, if he wanted it out of the video, he would have cut and fucking done it over or, you know, whatever. It was like he left it in as a goof. And I was
this isn't the first movie ever and it's shot on film and we only have 10 feet of film. We can't lose a frame.
But I love Rory. It was great. Great to see him. And
he's awesome.
The quail, the quail was great. You know, driving around Pebble, just all the cars, I was sitting in traffic behind a Ferrari 250 TDF, you know, like
that's Wow.
It's really it's neat. And driving an old car yourself, you know, through in that kind of environment is very fun. It's really nice. And I'm glad, you know, the car itself, you gotta drive the 328. The car, it's really nicely sorted. It was really well behaved. It ran nice and cool. The suspension just feels so good. The brakes are tight. You know, it's an old car. It's not like it's a new car by any means, but I'll confidently get in it and drive it wherever. And that's what I, you know, that's what I got it for.
And but so, it's old, but it's done well. Like, you know, my drive of the 70 327 RS is going up, and like, yeah, it's old. So you can't compare the old thing to its new counterpart, because there's just so many things, like the wheel sizes of things have changed so much. Like that affects so much of feel and agility and reaction. But like if the car was good for its era, if you put your mind in the correct place, like it will feel good now. It'd be very rewarding.
Right. And then while I was gone, the Porsche landed. The Porsche is in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's now registered, it's insured, and my salesman is going to drive it up to demand tomorrow. I was like, you want to get a flatbed? He's like, I think the guy's like hung over from the weekend. He's not getting back to me. I was like, bro, it's like 10 miles. You drive it to demand. Like, I'll buy your Uber back. He's like, sold. I was like, all right, cool. So he's driving that up there. The Mach-E went in for its, bunch of recalls. The Mach-E had the roof recall.
The multi-day software update.
Right, the multi-day software update. So Blue Cruise now works like it's supposed to, just like it did in the Lightning. They put a new, they resealed the glass roof. So the glass roof won't fly off anymore. Interestingly enough, they also put a new rear view mirror in the car. I didn't know if that was part of the recall, but it now has a new rear view mirror that's fully glass. It doesn't have a plastic frame. It's just the full glass mirror. And actually it feels like the drives a little differently. It feels like the steering is a little heavier than it was before, which is a little strange. And I have to call Mike Levine about that. There was like a power unit recall as well. They had to change some thing that could overheat and cause the car to shut down. So there was the roof recall, the whatever the fuck it was recall. They did them both, and then the Blue Cruise software update that was 2 days. So they had the car for about a week while I was out of town, and then the guys at Airport Marina Ford were nice enough to run it back to the shop to me afterwards. But operating, so we've had it for a week. I made fucking 30 trips back and forth from my new house here to Venice. And it's operating exactly like it's supposed to.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah. Do we want to get to a few questions? What do we want to do with the rest of our show? Because my list. I have another bit of personal fleet update. My Honda Monkey.
Yeah.
My monkey that I bought. I rode it to the Sunset GT right before I left, which is I jokingly call the Yeezy Nationals. It's like the most Beverly Hills of Beverly Hills car shows. There was like 7 Chirons there, 12 Sennas, all these Koenigseggs. Aventadors don't even get a second look. It's like the all modern supercars and hypercar show, right? And it was done well, and it was a fucking shit show up there. I mean, there's Paganis flowing into the street. I mean, it was, and people were being the broiest douchebags, dude. The people were fucking revving the fuck out of their paddle shift transmissions, you know, where you like idle creeping first, tug both for neutral, rev, yep, rev, 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 back into first. So lame. But I was like, this is gonna be a shit show. So I rode the monkey. I was like, I'm riding a fucking monkey. And I rode through Pagani traffic, passing everybody. And then I rode up the ramp at the Peterson, the spiral ramp. I rode up the ramp, passing like LaFerraris on the outside going up the ramp. It was so great. It was fun as fuck. But the clutch started to feel soft. like, it has aftermarket clutch levers in it, which is the worst. The guy before me put them on. And the clutch started to feel kind of soft. And I was like, this lever is out of adjustment. Something's not right. And when I would put it in first gear with the clutch held in, it would still want to like creep forward a little bit. So the clutch was obviously rubbing. It wasn't fully disengaging the clutch, even with the lever already in. So I was like, okay, Vinny, while I'm out of town, can you please like check this out? Maybe it just needs some adjustment of the lever or something. Vinny sends me a picture while I'm gone. The cable itself is fucking frayed and only like, you know, it's like a woven metal cable inside of a sheath, right? So only like two of the 12 strands are like holding. Like,
yeah,
so
you show me a picture, man. It looked like a like an elevator disaster movie, and this is the last piece of wire before the elevator falls and the music hits the high pitch. Like, I looked at it, I was like, dude,
yeah,
this is one strand of cable left.
It was really bad. Like,
he said you described it as crunchy feeling, and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, like I was maybe 20 or 30 clutch pulls from the thing just snapping entirely. So I was lucky I made it home. But yeah. a new you know how much, guess how much a new clutch cable for a monkey costs?
$12.
Close. 11.
11. it should be super cheap because like they have so many bikes that are small displacement and stuff, so, and it's mass produced. So thank God.
Totally.
That's like the cheapest part you've ever bought for one of your vehicles.
Totally. That's really
it's nice
cheap.
To have a victory to offset the that's cheaper than one bolt on your Ferrari.
I think the bolts were $7, so it's close.
Oh, I thought they were 18. I thought the bolts with the Ferrari logo.
Some of them were definitely 18. Might have been. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. Ferrari bill was big. It was a big bill. Yeah.
Some of the nice long bolts, I remember Donnie was like, these are $18, but they're, you know, they're big.
But they have Ferrari heads, horses stamped on
and they have
them.
Ferrari heads.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's only one question about Scotland we didn't cover. So I think we should cover the Scotland thing and then save the rest of the questions for Q&A on the next show.
That sounds like a good idea.
We've done well over an hour. The Scotland question. Someone said, hope you enjoyed your holiday. Now that you've seen the tartan and shortbread side of Scotland, when are you going to visit Glasgow and see the real thing?
You know, I would have liked to see Glasgow. I feel the same way about not seeing Glasgow as I felt when my parents took us to South Africa and we only really saw Cape Town and not Joburg. You know, Edinburgh was very lovely, but it felt like it was set up for tourists. It was beautiful. Like it was beautiful. People were nice. I think it was a lovely place, but I would like to see Glasgow. It's not far away. It's only about 50 miles from Edinburgh. When we went to Scotland, the reason we went to Scotland in the first place was because it was my mom's birthday and it was a milestone. I don't think she cares anymore. She doesn't listen. It was her 75th birthday. And she watches this TV show Outlander and also has read the books. And actually, the TV show is based on the books. We were standing outside of our hotel in Edinburgh and the author of the books fucking walked by on the street. And my mom got to meet her, which was amazing.
That's crazy.
Was really cool. And they chatted for a minute. So that's why we went there, was because of Outlander. So a lot of the castles and historical shit that we saw, that's real historical shit, is also backdrop for this show Outlander. If Zach and I or others did a road trip through Scotland, I would like to see Glasgow. I've heard very nice things. I've heard that it's a great place to visit to get a little more of the authentic Scottish life, as the question was asked, as opposed to something that's a little more set up for tourists. I don't have any plans to go back, but it would be a great thing to do as part of a UK road trip for sure. And I've heard very nice things and I would love to see it.
Nice.
All right, cool. So tomorrow our next show, we'll talk about Burning Man and the art cars. We will talk about we will do questions.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, what the fuck else is going on? I don't know.
We had about 20 questions.
Check out the lights on my new pool. Look at that.
Oh, that's nice.
Baja shelf, color changing lights. I'm very excited.
Color changing, right?
Look at that. We got the pass through bar out there. It's all fucking gravy. I'll do the Cribs tour when we're like unpacked and there's art hanging on the walls and stuff. It's a little too early in the process, but God damn it. Don't ever moving out of your house on every day since Friday has been the hottest day of the year. Every day. Friday was the hottest day of the year. Then Saturday, then Sunday, then Monday, then today. Tomorrow is going to be the hottest day of the year. I have had to move. And by the way, my old house, my new house, two big monster fucking air conditioners. My old house, no air conditioner. We had to pack our house on 95 degree day. My skin is so fucked. I've been sweating through clothes for like 12 hours a day for 4 days. I'm so fucked. I'm so over it.
It's rough. I empathize because on Friday we had to pack up most of our camp and it was 110 degrees and there was a whiteout. So we all had to wear masks and goggles all day. And then the whole tent was dirty for the rest of the night. It was fucking brutal.
Should have been in the orgy dome.
It was
the
really orgy brutal.
Car park. It could have been.
They do have air conditioning.
Fucking dirty in the.
That's true. Yeah, you could be making your own mud sandwich. No, thank you. Yeah,
Burning Man on the next fucking show. Thank you for joining us. We'll get to all your questions on the next show as well. I'm sorry this show went up late. We're doing our best, but this travel plus moving, it took a toll, and we had to do it when we had to do it. And Zach, feel better. I hope you're feeling better by the next show. If not, that one might be remote too. But that's our show.